Thank you so much for joining me today on Just Praise Him Radio. I'm your host, Glenda Lomax, and my job is to inspire you to a closer walk with Christ. Now here's the show. Hello, believers. Welcome to the Just Praise Him Radio program. I'm your host, Glenda Lomax, and today on the show I have as a guest my special friend Nicole. Y'all have heard her before. She's very knowledgeable in the Word, very highly anointed by God for teaching and for worship also. And the title of my message today is The King's Decree. We're going to be talking about the King's Decree. I think y'all will find this very interesting. I had been praying this week and asking the Lord what He wanted me to do for a podcast. And I was still waiting on His answer when somebody forwarded me an email from Pastor Vincent Xavier, whose internet channel JPH Radio plays on. And he had just preached on 1 Kings 1 and gone to Washington and marched against what is happening. Pastor Vincent's radio show, by the way, can be found at blogtalkradio.com/X-Man, 777. He posted a show today that looks really interesting, by the way. Okay. So Pastor Vincent had said that he felt very strongly about Ezekiel 7:14. Let me read you that from the New King James Version. They have blown the trumpet and made everyone ready, but no one goes to battle. We don't want to be the multitude that does not go to battle when it is time. So Nicole and I were talking yesterday, and we got on the subject of the election fraud, and she said that a number of other preachers were all preaching on 1 Kings 1. And then I knew that the Lord was trying to tell us something. So today we're going to talk about the time in 1 Kings 1 when Adonijah tried to take the kingdom from King David and from King Solomon, to be King Solomon. And I will tell you what the Lord spoke to me this morning about this story, because it applies to our time. It sums it all up, and you will see why this message is vitally important right now. We have very little time to change this. So let me just kind of summarize the story in 1 Kings 1, because it's too long to just read it verbatim. This was the time when King David was old. He was getting real old, and he couldn't stay warm. And they brought a virgin to him named Abishag to keep him warm. Then Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself, saying, "I will be king." And he prepared for himself chariots and horsemen and 50 men to run before him. Now, if you had chariots and horsemen and men running before you, that was your entourage. In that day, it meant you were someone very important. Okay, he was also very good looking. His mother had had him after Absalom, who was extremely good looking. And then he conferred with Joab, who was the head of the army, Joab, the son of Zeruiah, and with Abiathar, the priest, who was one of the leading priests. And they followed and helped Adonijah. Okay, so Adonijah went and made sacrifices. He held a feast for all these people, but he did not invite Solomon. And word of all this got back to Nathan the prophet, who told Bathsheba, who was the mother of Solomon, because they had been told that Solomon would be the next king by King David, okay? And so then Nathan the prophet went in and asked King David, he said, "Didn't you say, you know, that Solomon was going to be the next king?" And so then King David announced that Solomon would be the next king. And Adonijah was told while he was with all his guests having a big feast that this had been announced. And then, of course, all the people that were with Adonijah took off running. And the reason they did that was because in that time, whenever someone became king, they killed everyone who was against them. That was the standard. You killed everybody that was against you, so there was no one threatening your kingdom, which he did not do at that time. Solomon was very merciful and said, "If he will show that he's a good man, I won't kill him." Later on, Adonijah goes to Bathsheba and says, "Okay, so my brother's king now. Give me Abishag to wife." Well, you notice he didn't go to his brother, the king. He went to his stepmother, Bathsheba, because he knew that Solomon would listen to Bathsheba. And so Bathsheba went to Solomon and said he wants Abishag for his wife. And Solomon kind of flipped out and he sent somebody to execute him. The reason he did that was because if someone took over the harem of a king, a former king, it showed that they were rising up the ranks and they were fixing to be king. So he recognized that that meant that he was still a threat to the kingdom. So, Nicole, talk a little bit about what God has shown you.
Well, first of all, I'm not here to convince people whether or not there was an election fraud. In my opinion, there is. And as of right now, we still live in a free country, so I can have my opinion. But what I've noticed is that the mainstream media lies. That's all they do. And so we were in prayer for the election. As Christians, this election basically completely came down to good or evil. Okay. So whether you liked either candidate was irrelevant because we had to look at what they stood for. Mm-hmm. And President Trump stood for America, for God, for the values that we've had, against abortion. These are things that as a Christian, you have to abide by if you're going to really be a Christian.
He also stands for Israel.
Yes. And you cannot be for abortion and be a Christian. And if someone told you that, they were lying.
Yeah.
Because it's murder.
Yep.
And it doesn't matter how they want to call it, it's murder, period. Even my unsaved husband is appalled by abortion. So that should tell you a lot. Mm. But the spirits that are in people that rage for this are terrifying.
Yeah.
So we prayed about the election. We voted. And then as the results started coming in, you know, in my heart, I felt a peace about the election. But when they started, all of a sudden, it wasn't. And a couple of days, the beginning of the week before a couple of days before the election, my dad, God had woke up my dad and said, you need to pray hard because the Democrats have done something and they think it's in the bag and you need to pray against it. So our church prayed against the corruption. We didn't know what it was that they had done to make them think that they had this, but we did pray that it would be exposed. And then as you know, I know that you have heard that lots of election fraud has happened and there's lots of evidence that are coming in. Now, if you listen to any of the mainstream that you know of, you will not hear that at all. I've recently learned to go to Newsmax. This is the first news station that I've ever listened to that actually made me feel good. The other ones, just you listen to it, it's either lies or fear that they instill in you. And as Christians, we know it's important to listen to what it is that what we say and what people say. And the evil in people today and the witchcraft that is high up in the organization has powers. And when they speak evil, negative things, it affects you mm-hmm. and your spirit feels it. And so I even uninstalled news apps from my phone. I was like, nope, I will not have these anymore on my phone. None of them. No notifications coming up. I will not be in agreement with any of the lies any longer. And so I started watching Newsmax and it's like all of the stuff that's coming forward that they've done, it's terrifying to see how evil and how determined they are that Trump will not get in again. And so I think it was the day after the election, we were hearing things coming in. It was just like, you know, it's just like, you can't help but feel it. And it's like, I don't understand what's going on. I don't understand. And God would start showing me, random things started coming up. People that I'm very selective as to who I listen to. And so one of the persons I was listening to was saying that that the day of the election, and you may know this now, and I'm not sure if you've heard this before, but on the day of the election, it was the anniversary of the day that Noah's flood started.
Oh, wow.
And when I heard that, I'm like, that's not a coincidence.
And then
he says, it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. And I'm like, Okay, that's interesting. And then he said, from the day of the election, it is 40 days until the Electoral College meets to vote. And I'm like, oh, there you go. Okay, so there's no way this is a coincidence. So I was like, inside, I kept thinking, okay, we need to keep praying because this is not a done deal. We don't give up. We just keep on fighting. The more it would go, the more other thing, negative things would come up. God would remind me of another thing. And so they were discussing the tech giants. The tech giants are the media, Facebook, Instagram, all of these things that a lot of us have become dependent on that I'm really suggesting you don't use anymore, are censoring us. Even my dad, he's been putting sermons up on the Facebook page. They're taking them down.
Oh, wow.
So they don't have the right to censor us. Yet we supply them by using their platforms. I know Fox News, you used to listen to Fox News. Lots of people have left them now because all of a sudden they flipped. But what happened was is the person who owned it let his son take control over, and he doesn't have the same views that we have. And so now it's completely flipped. And so, I suggest you pull away from these big places that we know are evil so that we're not in agreement with them. And so I want to say maybe it was a week after the election, you know, I was still holding on. I'm still hearing people talk and I'm like, no, in my heart, no, that's not right. Well, I remember that I think it was Saturday that they announced Biden as the projected winner. And I remember hearing that and saying, no, he did not win this election. And I just know it inside. And I cannot explain why.
I felt the same thing.
I just know it. Right. I talked to you and you said you hadn't told anybody else that, but you felt this exact same way. Because they had taken that and it's not over. And so the next thing that came up was I heard a random, I listened to lots of sermons, lots of podcasts, and especially in the car. And so I was driving and something wasn't working. So I was like, let me pull up something. And this random video came up about the, from this guy that I don't even know who it is. I couldn't tell you right now who it was. I'd never heard of him. And I put it on and he started talking about the spies believing the negative report. The spies saw the giants and they couldn't go in and take the land. And so they believed the negative report. And then he started talking about Goliath screamed at the Israelites for 40 days. And when he said that, I'm like, there's no way that I just connected the tech giants. And then again, another 40 day cycle happening here. All the Israelites were scared to get up and fight, but David did. And God used David to destroy the giants. So there's another reminder that, no, don't stop fighting. Keep on fighting.
Because David,
you know, this isn't done.
David looked too small to defeat anything.
Oh, yes, definitely.
The same way we feel he looked to everybody else. Like, yeah, this is not going to end well for David, but look what happened.
Yeah. I mean,
God anoints those who are willing to fight his battles.
And he equips those who stand up to do it.
Yes.
And so we feel like we are nobodies. And I guess we are to the elite. We are nobody. They don't think we're worth anything. But God decides who has worth, not them.
Amen.
And so we need to rise up together and pray for our nation and for justice to be done, because only God knows the way it's going to end. And I don't think he's laid it on way too many people's hearts to pray and fast for justice, for it to be done. And even, you know, like I'll hear, even my husband will say, you might as well just give up. It's done. And so I'm like, no, it's not. It's not done until somebody is sworn in. And until then, we fight and we believe. Okay. And so I cancel what he says immediately. Anybody on the street says that. I was like, no, it's not done yet. You know,
yeah.
No, it's not. because there's enough negative stuff being said out there that we need to stand up and fight. I think a lot of Christians today, we know we're living in the end times. And I have to say that I agreed to do this show, first of all, because Glenda asked me, I would do anything she asked me to do. But I'm super busy. And when she said this, this was like yesterday. This was like last minute. And I'm like, oh, good Lord. But I can't get away from the fact that so many people, so many Christians are walking around defeated. It's like in their mind, they think, well, this is the end. There's nothing that I can do. And I just need to go in a hole and just wait. And I don't feel like that's what God's purpose is for telling us how close it is.
We've grown weary.
I think it's so that
we've grown weary and well-doing. Yeah.
Yeah, and if we're weary and well-doing and we're resting, then we're not going to push through to the finish line.
True.
And I just cannot get away from the feeling that he wants us to fight. I can't articulate it enough, but it's burning in me. I know our whole church is fasting and praying.
Wow.
And we still fight, not getting discouraged, but I would rather stand and fight for what I know is right in prayer, spiritually, so that God can intervene and move on our behalf, than for him to say, why did you not do what I told you to do?
Oh, yeah.
The scripture in Ezekiel 22:30, it says, I sought for a man among them that should make up the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. And I don't want to be accountable for not praying. I mean, God gave us the authority to do this. That's why he gave us that authority to fight the demonic evil that is rampant in our government.
Yeah.
Which is why they hate Trump so much, because he was doing that.
And why they hate all of us. They consider all of us to be what's called useless eaters. People that take up the airspace and eat the food, but they're no good to their purposes.
Yes.
So, I mean, this is the kind of administration that a godless administration, when a godless administration takes over the U.S., you can expect to see martyrdom rise up, massive persecution, worse than it is now, and martyrdom. And that's the truth. I'm not trying to scare y'all. I'm just laying it out like it really is. Y'all know I'm going to tell you like I see it. Those are the kind of people that want to be rid of us. We are in their way. Let me put it that way. And we don't live, we don't live in a society that plays fair anymore. We don't live in a society that leaves us alone and lets us practice our beliefs anymore. We live in a society that wants us all gone, because we remind them that they're in sin. And we call what they're doing sin.
Amen. They are so bent on brainwashing our children and erasing God from a whole generation so that they can rise up and do what it is they want to do. Yep. Because if we're here, then we're stopping them.
Yep.
Or at least we're supposed to be.
Yeah, yeah. And we're back, supposed to be. I was talking to Nicole about this again this morning. Back around 2000 and 2001, God told me repeatedly that the Bible will be outlawed in America. This is the kind of administration that will do this. And we need to fight that for as long as we are on earth, because souls are at stake. As long as we are still here to witness to people, other people can be saved. There's a lot of people that would be saved if they heard the gospel, if someone witnessed to them, that if we're not here, are not going to get saved. And that's going to be blood on our hands if we don't do what we're supposed to do. If we just sit back and let it happen, and we let an evil administration be elected, and we do nothing, and we don't pray, and we don't do the things we're supposed to do, who do you think God's going to hold accountable? There are sins of commission, and there are sins of omission. Sometimes the sin is what you didn't do, that you knew was the right thing to do. You knew to do it, and you didn't.
That's very true. And, you know, a lot of times people think spiritual warfare is just getting demons out of people. That's one small aspect of it, but it's mainly about diminishing the power of evil that's over the earth that is restraining us from spreading the gospel and getting more people and pushing the kingdom of God forward.
Well said.
I love that verse that says that the kingdom of God suffereth violence, mm-hmm. and the violent take it by force. That means we forcefully take it back. We forcefully push through the lines of the enemy that's there. Not just Amen. Going to church and saying, oh, I'm saved and my family's saved and everybody's good. That is not at all what biblical Christianity looked like. It was them being persecuted for what they did and them teaching and being killed. And that is what it looks like. Yeah. You know, we can't expect to say, well, God's going to just do what he wants to do.
No.
But because biblically it says he can't do unless we ask him, because that's the way he set it up for our own protection. But that's what free will is.
Yeah.
So to have the mindset that he's in control of everything, and he is in control. So don't misunderstand what I'm saying, but he's limited to the control he has if we don't do what we're supposed to do.
Yeah.
If we don't make the gap up, if we don't repent on behalf of our nation for all the evil that has empowered them, all the abortions that have empowered the witches to do what they do, because they get power from the iniquity that has been twisted all up in our government right now.
Back when almost everybody was a believer, and if you did, you know, if you got into adultery or you did a sin, you were shunned. People shunned you. And you were just kind of an outcast because everybody was trying to follow God. And this was for hundreds of years. When all that was going on, God blessed the nation. There wasn't a bunch of iniquity. And then with every generation, the cord of iniquity twisted and twisted some more and twisted some more until we live in a very twisted society, do we not? I mean, nobody can tell me it's not twisted. That's how it got twisted. Fewer and fewer and fewer people followed God, and more people followed after Satan and sin and the pleasures of sin. And fewer people taught their children about God.
And the powers of evil that rule the majority of the nation know the importance of iniquity. They know the importance of the power it gives them, and therefore they sin as much as they can. It's so twisted and evil. But we had done a show a while back about remitting sins. This is part of what that is. If you remit the sins of these people, it weakens the power that they have from it. It doesn't absolve them of it. That's still on them. They still have to repent for that. And if they don't, they'll still answer for it. But remitting the sins weakens the power Satan gets from it. And that's why we do that. So that's why we need to do that for our nation on this stance and ask God to deploy justice in what actually happened for it to be decreed and done in the land. And I know a lot of people are scared to fight principalities, and I'm not saying that you need to take something on like that, okay? But in Ephesians 6:12, it says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against the principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That means we're supposed to fight them. So I don't know if I agree with saying that you're not.
I have to agree with you.
I mean, you can ask God to send the angels to restrain the evil, to, if you're scared of that. But if you're fighting them on any level, you're going to get attacked. You can't fight them just because you're scared of getting attacked. That's like asking a soldier to stand up and fight, but they're scared, so they're going to desert. You just can't do that. It doesn't make sense. You can't effectively fight them if you're scared in the first place. Let me just say that.
Then we need to learn how to fight them properly.
Yes.
Spiritual wickedness in high places is definitely what we're talking about here. No question. And the principalities that are ruling them.
And if you think about Daniel, when he was praying, God gave him the vision of the end times, and then he sought for the answer, and God sent it immediately, but the prince of Persia resisted him. And so the angels warred to get the prayer down to the answer down to Daniel, but Daniel's fasting is what enabled the angel to be able to prevail.
Fasting is like an atomic bomb in the spiritual realm. You get down to your last breadcrumb and you really need breakthrough, that's what'll bring it. And not breadcrumb, but when you get down to your, you know, you're at the end of your rope and you're on that last knot and you're fixing to, you know, not make it, that's what you do. You fast, because that's the power punch right there. You can pray till you're blue in the face, but if you're not getting an answer, fast. Fast on top of that, and you will. I've never fasted and not gotten results. I just did that 10-day fast for God's help with something, and he wiped it out. Reminded me of the power of fasting all over again.
And, you know, I mentioned that the 40 days keeps coming up everywhere. We know that biblically that is 40 is the number of testing. And so I believe right now the body of God, of Christ, is being tested to see, are you going to accept this? Or are you going to fight? I think this is part of the separation of the wheat and tares, to see who's really going to do what they're supposed to do.
And the ones that accept it will be treated differently. There's no question.
Yeah. I was also listening to another podcast where a woman was saying God had given her a vision. And of course, she's there fighting against all of this evilness and witchcraft and praying for holding him up. We do need to be praying against the witchcraft, minding up the spiritual powers, asking God to forgive the iniquity that's been done over the United States with abortions and all the other sin that's been legalized and is running rampant. We need to do that in order for our prayers to be effective, but we need to pray and lift up Trump, that God will give him the strength to push through. Because he said himself, lots of people were telling him, just focus on the 2024 election. Don't worry about, just let this one go and just focus on that. And he said, no, I can't, because there's so many people that are depending on me. He says, I need to fight for the American people. And so he's willing to fight for us, but we need to hold him up. We just had a minister that came to our church for a revival. And while he was there, God showed him a vision of President Trump, and he was running the race, but he collapsed. He was right at the finish line and he collapsed. And these two women, there was a bunch of bystanders in the watching the race, and these two women came out of the race. One was a real old woman. Well, they were both older women. One had a cane and one was real feeble. And they were trying to pick him up, but they couldn't pick him up. And all of a sudden, this mighty wind blew in behind him, and he picked him up, and he finished over the race, the line of the race. And God told the minister that the two older women represented the church, that they were steady and they were believing, but they were so weary and tired. But he was going to come in and blow in and finish it. So that was very, very encouraging. And again, here's another person that's getting, that we're not supposed to give up and fight, that we need to not be weary and well-doing, but keep on going and pressing forward. Because you don't win the race if you give up. You only win it if you finish.
We were talking about that quote earlier, too. The only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing. And I saw something as you were talking just now. I was thinking about how the people in this country used to be all Christian, you know, and everybody was doing good. And if anybody did evil, it was called evil and they were shunned. And now we have just the opposite. Now evil is called good and good is called evil. We're called evil. We're called the haters, even though what we're trying to do is nothing about evil or hate, either one. We're trying to defeat the evil, and it has nothing to do with hate. And I realized, I saw in the spirit, that because So many people had fallen away from God in each generation, had fallen away from God, and children not being raised in the ways of God anymore, that there was less prayer and less prayer and less prayer. Because I was thinking about how 50 years ago, this evil would have never survived. It would have never made it. There's no way it could have gotten as far as it's gotten. And I remember seeing some of these things come to pass and thinking, and some of the laws being passed, going, how is that even, how is it getting through? The way it's getting through is fewer people are praying. Fewer people are standing. Fewer people are serving God. How long before we're a tiny, tiny minority in this country and we're just overrun? We either stand or we will cease to exist at some point.
And only God knows when that'll be.
Yeah, only He knows when.
But we were discussing this right before, and we that verse, the "Occupy until I come," keeps coming back to us. And so we decided to look up the word "occupy," and it means to continue business, to do the work. So we were discussing where was that in the Bible, and we looked it up.
It's in the parable of the talents, Luke 19.
Luke 19. Yes, it surprised us because I didn't realize that's where that would have been. I'm good at remembering verses, but not where they are. And you want to read the verse you found? Do you have that one written down?
Let me see if I have it. I don't think I have it.
This is okay. So the whole point of this is that we were looking up the verse, okay? And just like I told you earlier, that just random things, God would show us things randomly that you would think weren't relevant, that all of a sudden it was. And so this verse was another reminder of that.
Here, I've got it open now in Bible Gateway. And this was where Jesus is headed for Jerusalem. And he starts to tell this. A certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants, and 10's the number of the test, y'all remember, and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, "Occupy till I come." But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him. This is verse 14, saying, "We will not have this man to reign over us."
And when we read that, we were like, oh, that's not a coincidence.
There's no way that's coincidence, because that's exactly what all of the left is saying. We will not have Trump to reign over. He is not our president. We won't have him reign over us. They've been saying that for, well, years now, 4 years.
And I heard on the other podcast, well, I actually heard him say this. I watched the news clip, but this woman brought it out. But he was saying, he did a small interview news conference, and they were badgering him again. And one of the news reporters said something really ugly to him, and he turned to her and he said, "Do not talk to me that way. Do not talk to the president of the United States that way."
Oh, amen.
And I was like, yeah. And so the woman said, you know, people thought that was really good. She said, "But you don't realize what he said. He declared it out himself." And I was like, there you go. So, you know, that's encouraging too, that he is standing up and declaring that, yes, he is the president of the United States. And the office is to be honored.
Yes.
Even when we had people in there we did not agree with.
Yep.
God still said we were supposed to pray for our leaders and not wish evil on them.
Yeah.
Yet they have not done any of that.
No, they have not. But they don't follow our God either.
No, basically everything that they say, you can just bang that it's the complete opposite of what they're saying. Because it's just so twisted.
They are a lawless and a godless generation.
And you know, the story about the story at the beginning with David, where the other son had anointed himself king.
Adoniah, yeah.
Yeah, that came back in some other podcasts as well, which is another reason why when we were talking, we were like, that's another one that came up. We need to discuss this. Too many biblical parallels that are repeating for us. And so it didn't matter that the son declared himself king, threw himself a party, and everybody in the land started, let's be nice to him because he's going to pick his cabinet, whatever it is that he's saying.
Yeah.
It didn't matter because the king had the final say, and he declared that Solomon was going to be king. And so we were discussing it, and all of a sudden, I saw something I hadn't seen before in that story, that if you're following the right news media, you'll know that Trump has done a lot to keep peace in the Middle East. They were about to sign contracts and treaties. I don't think it was the treaty, so let's be clear about that. But he has brought so much peace and over there, and I realized the wrong king was trying to get in, but Solomon was the one that was declared to build the temple because God had told David that he couldn't build the temple because he had blood in his hand, but Solomon was ordained to do it. And I realized it's very possible that Trump is supposed to be in so that the temple can start to be built.
Yeah, and it could be the,
and so that's a very interesting thing to think about.
Yeah, the wrong king in that seat could stop that from happening in a timely manner and mess everything up. Yeah. And when Nicole said that, we were talking, that hit my spirit so hard, and I knew it was revelation. I knew it was revelation from God. More than ever, so now in this time, the right people need to be in office so that God's will can be done, whatever his will is, so that his will can be done.
Yes. And they're screaming too hard about there's no proof. There's lots of proof. And if you go to Newsmax or justthenews.com, President Trump made an address yesterday. And I only got to listen to a little bit of it. I didn't get to hear the whole thing. But I do plan on going listening to it. But he states some of the evidence that they found. They have signed affidavits of testimony of people who witnessed fraud.
Oh, wow.
So they are screaming so much about it and trying to hide it so much. It shows you that it's really bad and they know it. Or they would be saying, well, let's prove that it's not. But no, they don't want you to look into it.
We need to pray that those witnesses will not be harmed or disappear suddenly, and that evidence will not disappear too.
Yeah, because they're fighting to not have the machines dumped. One of the women said she was a poll watcher, and if they were allowed in, it was a big fight. They got in. They weren't allowed to sit down anywhere, but the Democrats were. They had a nice little corner, but they stood up and had to be at least 6 feet, if not more, away from everything. So it was very hard to see what was going on. She said they started bringing boxes in of military ballots. They were told after the military ballots were counted that it would be done. Well, she said the military ballots, you could see that they were Xerox copies of the same ballot over and over and over again for Biden. They weren't registered voters, and they would put them in the computer and write, type in 12020 as their birth date, and it would let them override the system so they can enter in their ballots that were illegal.
Wow.
And that's just one of the stories. They had a UPS driver that was carrying a bunch of ballots, and when he started asking questions about why he was moving ballots from place to place, his truck disappeared with all the ballots.
Wow.
So there's many, many stories out there. I can't even remember all of them. So we know that we have the legality on our side. God doesn't want corruption. He doesn't want evil to win. So it is in his will to pray against for evil being exposed.
You know, I thought of something this morning when I was walking my dogs. You know, there's a scripture that says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. If you take the Spirit of the Lord out of this country, there won't be any liberty. There won't be any justice for all either.
Amen to that. And you know, the whole reason for doing this podcast is to encourage the people listening to not give up and to keep praying until it's done, until we leave this earth, however that is.
Yeah.
You fight until you leave the earth.
That was it.
And it weighs on me so heavy that I see the discouragement in people. And it's just, I just want to encourage you to keep on fighting. In the rest of that parable, that we were just talking they said that we didn't want him to be our king. It's actually the parable of the talents. And I don't think that's a coincidence either, because he gave us the authority to do this. What are we going to do with it? When he comes back, is he going to say, okay, I gave you the authority to bind up the evil spirits. I broke all these curses so that you could take authority over them. What did you do with it?
Yeah. Is he going to say, well done, or well, what have you done?
Yeah, that's a good way to put that. I haven't heard that. And, you know, God had told me once before that if we don't fight, the demons win by default.
Yeah.
I don't want them to win.
No, not at all.
God didn't go through all. Yeah, he didn't go through all that so that they could.
Somebody said, who was it? Because this was in your notes. It wasn't in mine. Somebody said that the Lord told them that he was taking account of who voted which way in this election, because it was such a battle between good and evil.
Yes, and that was the podcast on the woman I was listening to. She had said God had showed her a vision that he stood up and took note of who voted for good and evil, that it was not about people, it was about good and evil, and that the people who voted for evil, judgment was coming for them. So he took it very seriously, because it was a vote for evil. If you didn't vote, you know, that is just, it is what it is. There's no way to sugarcoat that.
Yeah.
And I've heard Christians say, well, you can't say that. You know, I just didn't like this person's personality, so I voted. No.
We're not supposed to look at worldly things, their personality or how they look or how they dress or anything else. We're supposed to look at what they stand for. We're fruit inspectors. What's the fruit? What's the fruit they're producing? If they're producing support for the law of abortion and things like that, that's evil.
And you can look at the states who didn't vote for Trump. I'm just going to say it like that.
Yeah.
A lot of those states are the one. That's where you're seeing all the craziness, the burning down the building, and the rioting and all this insanity. Yet we're the ones that are crazy. We're not rioting because of this, although we have good reason to, what they've done. But we're not doing that because we're going to let God, we're going to fight spiritually, which is more effective than rioting and doing the other things.
Woe to them who call evil good and good evil. Woe. Woe means you're as good as dead if you look up the meaning of that. John Morgan told me that years ago. He looked that up one day and he goes, do you know what woe means? And I said, no, kind of, but. He said, it means you're as good as dead. I was like, oh, that's serious then. Woe to them who call good evil and evil good. So woe is coming for them if it's not there yet. Tell us about Michelle Bachmann's prayer that she sent out.
Yeah, so I was about to get to that one. So I told you that our church was praying and fasting. One of the leaders in our church found this prayer that is phenomenal. And there's going to be a link in the description to it. The prayer's long, so I'm not going to read the whole prayer, but I am going to read the prayer points. And this was written by Michelle Bachmann, who was senator to Minnesota, I believe. She is in the Republican Party. I think she was eyeing the White House at one time. I'm not sure if she still is or not later on down the line. Anyway, I was very, very impressed with it. And you can go to the website. It is villagersfortrump.org. And if you don't know how to pray, I suggest you praying this prayer, because it's very, very powerful. It's long, but it's powerful. But we do need to add repenting on behalf of the nation, standing in the gap for that iniquity, and you know, as well. I don't know if that was in there, but that needs to be done first before this prayer. But this is a good thing to do if you're not sure how to pray about it. So I'm going to read the prayer points. So what she does on the website, there's a prayer point, and then she has a prayer behind it, and then she has the next prayer point, and then she has a prayer. So what I'm going to do is just read the five prayer points out. So prayer point one, expose and hold accountable those who practice the seven things God hates and he says are detestable to him. According to Proverbs 6:16-17, there are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a a false witness who pours out lies, a person who stirs up conflict in the community. Well, that doesn't describe the Democrats. I don't know what does.
Amen.
Just saying. Okay. Prayer point number two, expose all wickedness intended to steal, kill, and destroy the electoral process in these battleground states. Prayer point three, frustrate those who seek to steal, kill, and destroy electoral integrity and authentic, accurate vote counts in these battlegrounds. Because we're not, I mean, we want Trump to win, but we're not praying for that. We're praying for a real election, a true republic.
Yes.
That we were founded on. That's what we want.
The truth of how the votes were cast. The real votes, not the fake ones.
Right. That's what we want. We want integrity. We want what really happened.
And some of the votes were changed after they were cast. The guy who does my lawn service, he checked on his mother's vote. She lives in another state, and her vote was changed after she cast it.
I mean, the systems that they use were made to do that. Why else would you make that?
Yeah.
Okay, prayer point four. Frustrate and thwart the plans of those who attempt to sabotage the state's election laws and subvert the expressed will of the people.
Yes.
And prayer point five, Psalms 5 for protection and favor for President Trump. But I do encourage you to go to her website because there's a prayer after it, and there, it's very, very powerful. And she discusses how, which I am totally in agreement, if this is the end and judgment is at the door, so be it. But yep. Don't be accountable for not doing everything in your power to have God's plans come forth.
We need
that's
to pray.
What a soldier does.
We need to pray for the truth to come out, and we need to ask other people we know to pray with us for that, because then we have the power of agreement, and we need to get more people praying, because that is the reason that evil is prevailing in our country right now.
That's we need to bind up the fear that has been cast over everybody.
And the weariness.
I mean,
the resignation.
Yes, I do believe that coronavirus is a real virus, but I believe they've used that to cause fear, and the fear is hindering people's prayers. And yeah. It's not a coincidence all this is happening at the same time. I just don't believe that.
And I want to share with y'all something the Lord told me this morning. We had started to pray about this, and we were working on this show, and we were not talking on the phone when this happened, I don't think. And I said, Lord, give me some insight, because I had done this whole study on this first Kings chapter 1, and I still wasn't getting revelation on it. I don't know if I was tired or what. I just wasn't seeing it. And I said, Lord, give me some insight on this. And he said, Adonijah was willing to steal and do wrong to be king. And I thought about it for a minute, and I thought, how much does the other presidential party know about the wrong that's being done to change the election results? Do they know? Is this being done with their full knowledge? Is this a person who's completely dishonest that's, you know, trying to get into office? Is he willing to steal to be king and do wrong? Because what kind of a president does that make? We have to ask ourselves that. All we want is for the truth to come out. Instead of they're hiding the truth under layers and layers and layers of fictitious votes. So we are praying for the truth to come out and for the republic that we know to be restored.
And it also says that the majority of millions and millions of people voted for good, not evil, which is encouraging. You know,
that's very encouraging. Imagine if all those same people would pray with us.
Yes, that would be amazing. And I think Michelle Bachmann said it was with December 7th that we would need to pray in.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm glad you brought that up. December 7th at 3:00 Eastern time, Michelle Bachmann has asked, the one who sent out that prayer, this is probably on her website. I didn't look. She asked for as many people as could to go to the Capitol in each state and pray that prayer at that particular time. And as soon as somebody had sent me that in an email, and I thought, for a minute, I thought, that's like when the Israelites circled Jericho and all shouted for the walls to come down at the same time. That's the kind of power that has. Okay, this is serious. That is serious, serious power. When the Lord leads somebody to do that, to get a group together to do something like that, that means he's going to move. He will make those walls come down. If we stand and shout together at the same time, he will make those walls come down because he wants the walls to come down.
Amen. Which should be encouraging to us that
yes,
this isn't done. It's not done.
He's on our side in this.
Not until the king decrees, it's not done.
That's it. That's it. It's up to the king. Until he says, then that seat's not taken. Amen. And whoever wants to be Adonai and claim that they're the king can say it till they're blue in the face, but the real king will say the truth. You know, Adonai putting himself forward to be the next king, which was, among other things, bypassing King David's right to choose his own successor, which they did back then. Him being the eldest surviving son of King David, he would have felt like the kingdom was supposed to be his. I can see where he would have thought that. He saw King David was growing old and weak. He knew that he couldn't put up a fight. King David was known to be a great warrior. He wouldn't have dared do that in his younger years, even as his son. The enemy always looks for the weak place to attack, doesn't he? And you know, we know that in the end times, that Satan will wear down the saints. We know that. He'll use the Antichrist to do it for sure. But he does it even now. He does everything he can to make us weary. Because when we're weary and we're discouraged, we stop fighting. You don't send weary, discouraged soldiers onto the battlefield and expect them to, you know, fight as hard as they will when they're not weary and discouraged. Okay, so like we said, the only thing necessary for evil to triumph is for good men to stand by and do nothing. So it's up to each one of you. You've been told now what the word says. You've been told what the Lord's been telling people. You have to make a decision whether you're going to stand by and do nothing or you're going to pray for the truth to come out and for evil to be defeated. We want to encourage you to do that because we believe there are rewards for people who do that and possibly punishment for those who don't, especially in this case, because what is at stake is so large. And we do not want Satan to win by default. We do not want that to happen at all.
And don't be, I want to encourage people to realize that you're not alone. There's many of us that are still fighting. There's many of us that are praying for you and for strength. And the weariness is real. So if you're feeling that, I mean, I can attest to feeling that recently too. And every time I do, God reminds me. And the most recent reminder was that this song. I had the lady in our church that gave us the prayer points. She sent me this song, and I listened to the verse only, but I got distracted and I had to do something else, so I didn't get to listen to the whole chorus. Well, I started walking around the house and I'm singing this song, the chorus of the song. That I was like, "What is this song I'm singing? I love this song," and I didn't know what it was, so I couldn't even look it up. Well, then I throughout the day, I was like, well, let me go put the other song back on. And so I put the song on she sent, and that was the song I was singing. Only I had never heard the whole song before. And the song is Never Lost by Torrin Wells, that version. It's so powerful. It talks about how God's never lost the battle, and he never will. And just so encouraging to me. It was just like the joy and the strength just came. And I'm like, yeah, we got this. So find encouragement in worship and praise because it's so important, and in the strength in the word, and realize that you're not alone, that we're all still fighting too.
Yeah, we are. And when we get weary or we just get discouraged, we just need to fellowship with other believers, and we need to just, you know, get up, dust ourselves off, and keep on going. We're going to go through those times a lot in these end times because Satan has designed everything he can to wear us down.
We need to start claiming we will not get weary in well-doing. Start claiming that verse for ourselves.
We will rise up with wings as eagles. We shall run and not be weary. We shall walk and not faint. That will overcome that.
Yes.
Okay, well, that's all that we have for y'all this week. I want to thank Nicole for taking her time to be on the show and share her knowledge and her wisdom and revelation with us. Thank you, Nicole. Since I know there's a lot of time involved whenever you guest on a radio show.
I was happy to do it. And the whole point is to encourage people to keep on fighting. So hopefully that's what we accomplished here.
Okay, well, y'all keep soldiering on out there. Thanks for listening. I hope y'all have a great week.
Thank you so much for tuning in today to Just Praise Him Radio. You can contact me by mail at my new address, JPH Inc., Glenda Lomax, P.O. Box 60, Glencoe, Arkansas 72539, or by email at jphtoday@gmail.com. JPH is not affiliated with any nonprofit organization, church, or denomination.
Have you ever gone through a time in your life where suddenly it just felt like your whole life was falling apart? I call these experiences the wilderness experiences. Wilderness experiences are a time of great uncertainty and change. There are times when our faith is tried and refined. After many experiences, the Lord spoke to me to write The Wilderness Companion, which is a virtual roadmap through the desert times of your life. Find out why you've been led to the wilderness. Find out what the biggest hindrance is to receiving provision in the wilderness. Find out what the seven temptations of the wilderness are. Drastically cut the time you spend in the wilderness by learning how to partner with the Lord instead of working against Him. Every Christian needs to read The Wilderness Companion. It's by Glenda Lomax, and it's available on Amazon.com or wingsofprophecy.com. Amazon.com, The Wilderness Companion by Glenda Lomax.
Have you heard? The 2016 and 2017 messages have been published in book form. Even those who do not profess a belief in God can see something is amiss in the world around us. What is coming for our world in these last days? What does the Lord want us doing while we're waiting for His glorious reappearance? Time of Reckoning and Soon It Will Be Night each contain approximately 200 prophetic messages and visions from the throne room of God telling what is coming to America and the world in these end times. The Lord has always warned nations when they were headed for destruction. He has always warned His own people. Are we also being warned? Get your copy of Time of Reckoning and Soon It Will Be Night, available now on Amazon.com.
Does your life feel like it's falling apart around you? Are multiple things going wrong all at once? Does it seem all your comforts have been stripped away? You may have entered the wilderness. Wilderness experiences are often times of great discomfort and lack. Every Christian must pass through the desert on the way to their promised land. Find out how to go from surviving to thriving by partnering with God as He leads you in the path that will strengthen your faith and prepare you to step into your destiny. The Wilderness Companion will help you find out why you have been led into the wilderness. Find out the biggest hindrances to receiving the provision you need in the wilderness. Find out what the seven temptations of the wilderness are. Learn how to partner with God in His purposes for you in the desert seasons. Get your copy of The Wilderness Companion today. The Wilderness Companion by Glenda Lomax on Amazon.com in print, Kindle, or audiobook.